Hi there. Waka waka. Happy New Year and all that. Hi. Waka waka waka. Hi. This is ILFM and you're listening to Edit Presents Show. First one of the year. Hopefully it'll be a goodie for y'all and you'll keep listening for the rest of the year. That would be wonderful for everyone, I think. If we don't put everyone off. Yes. Yeah, you, our one listener. Currently, we have one listener. You know who you are. Big up your chest. So then, on with proceedings. To begin with, this evening, we're going to get straight on with it. I've been asked, actually, to keep this person's a shadowy figure. And so I shall. So we'll just say, DJ BBC Indiana Jones on the decks. Indiana Jones and the Temple of Techno, in fact, for the first hour or so, and then closely followed by Jerome Hill, who's going to be arriving pretty shortly, I think. Right, that's it. So, yeah, enjoy. This should be amusing. Dirty washing.
Anal intercourse before, Ruby?
Yeah.
With how many different people?
I think three, but I'm not sure.
Take 66.
Thank you. Shanghai, 1935. Heads turned in the elegant club Obi-Wan as Indiana Jones crossed the crowded dining room. Casually, he took a seat opposite the infamous Chinese gangster Lao She and his two sons.
You never told me you spoke my language, Dr. Jones.
Only on special occasions.
So, it is true. You found Muachi.
You know I did. Last night, one of your boys tried to get Narachi without paying for him.
You have insulted my son.
No, you've insulted me.
Aren't you going to introduce us?
But tension was broken by Lao She's girlfriend, Willie Scott, the star singer of the club.
Mrs. Willie Scott, this is Indiana Jones, the famous archaeologist.
Well, I thought archaeologists were always funny little men searching for their mummies.
Mummies.
Dr. Jones found Noachi for me, and he's going to deliver him now.
Say, who is this Nerhachi?
In the Cressida carving fort against Willie's ribs.
Put the gun away, Sonny. Now, I suggest you give me what you owe me, or anything goes. Open it. The diamond, Lao. The deal was for the diamond.
Now, you bring me Nurhachi.
My pleasure.
Who on earth is this Nurhachi?
Here he is.
This Nurhachi's a real small guy.
Inside are the remains of Nurhachi, the first emperor of Manchu Dynasty.
Welcome home, old boy, to your very good health.
And now, you give me the diamond.
Are you trying to develop a sense of humor, or am I going deaf?
Lao held up a small glass bottle of blue liquid.
What's that?
Antidote.
To what?
The poison you just drank, Dr. Jones. Poison works fast, Dr. Jones.
Sweating, Indy set the diamond back on the table in front of Lao. The poison blurring his vision, Indy pushed himself unsteadily to his feet.
Too much to drink, Dr. Jones.
Then, suddenly, Indy grabbed a flaming skewer and hurled it straight at Lao's gunman. Indy dove across the table, knocking Lao's other son over backwards. The diamond and the antidote tumbled off the table and skittered across the floor. Willie chased the diamond, while Indy scrambled after the antidote on his hands and knees.
The antidote!
Where's the diamond? Nuts!
More of Lao's henchmen poured into the nightclub, throwing fists and knives as Indy fought back in a poison stupor. All the while, the antidote bottle was kicked this way and back by the panicked crowd. As it slid by Willie, she grabbed it.
Stay there!
One of Lao's sons grabbed a machine gun and sprayed the room with bullets. Indy sprang onto the nightclub stage and cut free a tremendous silver gong, which he set rolling toward the towering third-story window. Using the gong as a shield, Indy raced toward freedom. They ripped through a couple of awnings and then through the convertible top of a waiting car. The two found themselves in the back seat, dazed but unhurt. Indy's 11-year-old sidekick, Short Round, stared at them from behind the driver's wheel.
Wow! Holy smoke! Fast landing!
Short Round, step on it!
Okie dokie, Dr. Jones, home with your potatoes!
Try not, Mom, there's a kid driving the car!
Where's the antidote?
Listen, I just met
you. Give me.
Oh, another kind of girl!
Hey, Dr. Jones, no time for now! Keep that company!
A carload of Lao's hoods raced after them as Shorty whipped left and right through the crowded Shanghai streets.
No shooting!
Screeching to a halt at the airport, Shorty scrambled after Indy and Willie as they boarded a waiting cargo plane. Lao's sedan skidded to a stop outside the airport fence, and Indy gave the hoods a jaunty wave as the plane taxied away.
Nice try, Lao She!
But Indy didn't see the name painted on the plane's door. Lao She Air Freight.
Goodbye, Dr. Jones.
Indiana Jones quickly changed from his tuxedo into his felt hat and leather jacket with his trusty bullwhip at his side.
So what are you supposed to be, a lion tamer?
I'm allowing you to tag along. So why don't you give your mouth a rest? Okay, doll?
What do you mean, tag along? Ever since you got into my club, you haven't been able to take your eyes off me.
Oh, yeah?
Exhausted, the three adventurers settled in among crates full of live poultry and quickly fell asleep as the plane droned west. Hours later, the cockpit curtain was drawn aside and an eye examined the sleeping passengers. Silently, the curtain parted, and the pilot and co-pilot crept toward the back of the plane. As they opened the cargo door, Willie woke up and saw them parachute away.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Mister. Oh, mister, wake up, please. Mister.
You call him Dr. Jones, doll.
Okay. Dr. Jones. Dr. Jones. Oh, wake up, please.
You there already? Oh, good.
No. Huh? No one's flying the plane.
Oh, boy.
They've all gone. You know how to fly, don't you?
No. Do you?
Oh, no.
How hard can it be?
I'm gonna faint.
Altimeter.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh,
air speed. Okay. Fuel. I think we got a big problem. Shorty!
Dr. Jones! No more parachutes!
Quickly, Indy searched the falling plane. He found an inflatable life raft and dragged it to the door.
Shorty! Grab on!
Moments before the plane hit, Indy pulled the inflation cord and jumped. As the three people plummeted, the raft gradually inflated and slowed as it caught the wind. Then it slammed down onto a snowy mountainside and slid off at an alarming speed. With skill and luck, they managed to avoid all the trees in their path.
That wasn't so bad, was it?
The raft suddenly slid right off a towering cliff, falling hundreds of feet into a raging mountain river.
I hate the water! And I hate being wet! And I hate you!
Good! Good!
The yellow raft lurched and plunged helplessly. Finally, it came to a quieter stretch of river and drifted to the bank. Its passengers cold, wet, and bruised.
Oh, where are we anyway?
India.
How do you know that?
There, on the riverbank, stood an ancient Indian shaman, as though he had been waiting for them. He led the weary adventurers toward his nearby village. It was a joyless sight. The fields around the village were blighted, the villagers starving, and there was not a child to be seen. But despite the poverty and deprivation, the villagers served them a humble but filling meal.
Can you provide us with a guide to take us to Delhi? I'm a professor. I have to get back to my university.
Yes, Sajnu will guide you.
Yes, do take. Thank you.
On the way to Delhi, you will stop at Bangkok.
Bangkok is not on the way to Delhi.
You will go to Bangkok Palace.
I thought the palace had been deserted since.
Now there is a new Maharaja, and again the palace has the power of the Dharma. It is that place. Kill my people.
What is happening?
So you will start in Bangkok, then like monsoon, it moves darkness over all time.
What do you want?
They came from palace and took Sivalinga. It is why Shiva brought you here.
We were brought. The plane crashed.
No, no. We prayed to Shiva to help us find the stone. It was Shiva who made you fall once. So you will go to Bangkok Palace to find Shivalinga.
Village shaman led his visitors outside to a crude stone shrine.
Dr. Jones, did they make the plane crash to get you here?
No, sorry, it's just a ghost story. Don't worry about it. Props to swallow from the earth, the animal fell down and turned to dust. And one night there was a fire in the fields. Men went out to fight the fire. And they came back alone and crying in the dark.
That night, as Indy stood at the edge of the firelight, thinking about what the villagers had told him, a starving, exhausted child appeared out of the night and stumbled into his arms. The child held out a tattered piece of cloth and gasped a single name. Ancient Indian painting. Within moments, Short Round scampered up the hill with news.
Little boy escaped from the evil palace. Many other children still there. What we do, Dr. Jones? What do you think?
I think that somebody believes the good luck rock from this village is one of the lost Shankara stones.
What is Shankara?
Fortune and glory, kid. Fortune and glory.
Indy was up early the next morning, making preparations for their journey. Willie balked when she saw what her transportation was supposed to be. A full-grown elephant.
Sanju, Anidu.
Oh, wait a second, Indy! I can't go to Jelly like this!
We're not going to Jelly, doll. We're going to Pangkat Palace.
Pangkat? I can't go to Pangkat. I'm a singer. Oh, I need to call my agent. Is there a phone? Anybody? I need a phone.
All day, Indy traveled through the steaming jungle atop his large pachyderm. On one side of him was Short Round, who rode his baby elephant proudly.
You come to America with me and we get job in circus. You like that? You like America? You're my best friend.
On the other side rode Willie, who disliked the smell of her transportation. She tried sprinkling him with perfume.
Oh, pipe down, you big baboon. This doesn't hurt. You know what you really need? You really need a bath.
The elephant disagreed and decided to give Willie a bath instead.
Funny. Oh, Rich.
I think we'll camp here tonight.
That evening, Willie hung up her wet clothes to dry, while Indy and Short Round played poker by the fire.
What do you got?
Two sixes.
Uh-huh, three aces. I win. Two more games. I have all your money. Ha, ha, ha.
It's poker, Shorty. Anything can happen.
Well, may I ask what you were expecting to see out of a Torquay hotel bedroom window? Sydney Opera House, perhaps? The hanging gardens of Babylon? Herds of wildebeest sweeping majestically?
I expect to be able to see the sea.
What?
Shorty's family were killed when the Japanese bombed Shanghai. He's been living on the street since he was four. I caught him trying to pick my pocket. Didn't I, short stuff?
Why are you dragging us off to this deserted palace? Fortune and glory?
Fortune and glory.
Well, this is a piece of an old manuscript. This pictograph represents Sankara, priest.
Scram.
Gentle, gentle. This is hundreds of years old.
Is that some kind of writing?
Yeah, it's Sanskrit. Part of the legend of Sankara. He climbs Mount Kalisa where he meets Shiva, the Hindu god.
That's Shiva? And what's he handing the priest?
Rocks. Told him to go forth and combat evil. And to help him, he gave him 5 sacred stones with magical properties.
Magic rocks. My grandpa was a magician. He spent his entire life with a rabbit in his pocket.
Corpses fell through a rotting door towards Shorty.
I step where you step. I touch nothing.
Cindy!
I step on something.
Yeah, there's something on the ground.
Feel I step on fortune cookies.
It's not fortune cookies. Let me take a look.
Indy lit a match to reveal a narrow passageway, crawling with layers of bugs. Shorty froze as a deadly scorpion crept up his leg.
That's no cookies.
It's all right, I got it. Go! There, go!
They ducked into a stone chamber. The floor was littered with skeletons. Shorty took a tentative step and accidentally triggered a hidden button. Instantly, a stone door rolled shut behind them.
Stop. Just stand up against the wall, will you?
And that's exactly what Short Round did, triggering once again another deadly trap. Sharp spikes began descending from the ceiling and pushing up through the floor.
You say to stand against the wall. I didn't say what you say. The landlord. Oh,
Willie! Get
away. Get
away. Get away. Get away. We're in trouble.
Trouble? What sort of...
This is serious.
There are two dead people down here.
There are two dead people in here.
Hurry. What's the rush?
It's a long story.
Willie backed into the release lever. The spikes began filling the room again. The trio dove under the descending stone door, just barely escaping the spike death inside. Exhausted, they continued down a windy tunnel, drawn forward by the sound of voices. At the end of the tunnel, they gasped in astonishment. They were gazing out over an incredible underground temple, divided by a pit of molten lava. On one side, hundreds of worshippers, including the young Maharaja, bowed and chanted. On the other side was the center of their attention, a monstrous idol of Kali, the goddess of death.
It's a thuggee ceremony. They're worshiping Kali.
Have you ever seen anything like this before?
Nobody's seen this for 100 years.
Mola Ram, the high priest of the Thuggee cult, stepped from the smoky altar. A sacrificial victim was fastened into an iron frame. Calling upon the name of Kali, Mola Ram magically removed the beating heart of his victim and held it aloft. Indy watched in astonishment.
Still alive.
Then, as the adventurers watched, horrified, the struggling victim was lowered into the boiling lava. A trio of priests came forward and set three conical stones before Kali's altar. The stones glowed with an eerie white light. Indy's eyes lit up.
That's the rock they took from the village. It's one of the Shankara stones.
Why'd they glow like that?
Shh. The legend says when the rocks are brought together, the diamonds inside them will glow.
Diamonds?
Diamonds.
Diamonds?
Hey, look. I want you two to stay up here and keep quiet. Shorty, you keep an eye on her.
Why? Where are you going?
Down there.
Down there? Are you crazy?
I'm not leaving here without the stones.
You could get killed chasing after your fortune and glory.
As the last worshippers left the temple, Indy slipped from his hiding spot and climbed skillfully along an elaborately carved balcony. Using his whip, he swung across the lava pit and carefully examined the glowing stones. Still unobserved, he placed them into his shoulder bag and turned to go. Then Indy heard something.
This time, Priest lost his grip.
Bands won't play no more.
Too much fighting on the dance floor.
Kali in hell.
Oh, put out of the way! You fool! No!
The terrified guards tumbled from the severed bridge toward the crocodiles below. But Indy grabbed a rope and held on for dear life as the remains of the bridge hit the gorge wall. Above him, Willie, Shorty, and Mola Ram also clung to the dangling footboards. Willie and Shorty desperately kicked at Mola Ram as he tried to pull them off the rope bridge. The high priest lost his grip and slid back down until he was even with Indy. Desperately, the two men struggled for possession of the bag with the Shankara stones. Mola Ram reached for Indy's chest and dug his nails in painfully.
You betrayed
Shiva. Don't Shiva care. Shiva Kateo.
You betrayed Shiva. Don't Shiva care. Shiva Kateo.
The bag began to glow, then to burn. Mola Ram grabbed for the stones as they spilled out through the flaming canvas. The last blazing stone seared Mola Ram's flesh. He lost his grip and fell screaming toward the crocodiles below. Indy just managed to clutch the last stone, which cooled instantly. He struggled up the bridge to safety as the British troops arrived and dispatched the rest of the evil Kali guards. The next day, the three adventurers led the multitude of children back to their home village. Happy shouts filled the air as joyous families were brought together again. Even Short Round was reunited with his baby elephant. Willie was astonished at how the countryside had changed. Cool streams flowed beneath green trees, and flowers and crops had sprung up in the fields. The village shaman came forward to greet them.
We know you are coming back when life returns to our village. Now you can see the magic of the rock you bring back.
Yes, I understand its power now.
You could have kept it.
Ah, what for? They'd just put it in a museum. It'd be another rock collecting dust.
But then it would have given you your fortune and glory.
Anything could happen. It's a long way to Delhi.
No, thanks. No more adventures with you, Dr. Jones.
Sweetheart, after all the fun we've had together.
If you think I'm going to Delhi with you or any place else after all the trouble you've gotten me into, think again, Buster. I'm going home to Missouri where they never feed you snakes before ripping your heart out and luring you into hot pits. This is not my idea of a swell time. Excuse me, sir. I need a guide to Delhi. If you could show me the way.
Suddenly, Indy cracked his bullwhip around her waist and reeled her in like an angry hooked fish. But when he finally kissed her, she didn't seem to mind at all.
Your baby doesn't love you anymore. Golden days before they end, whisper secrets to the wind.
Thank you very much, Roy Orbison, at the end there. Super. So that was DGA BBC Indiana Jones of the mystical variety. None of us actually know who he is. He's just an apparition here in the studio. That was, quite frankly, professional. And, you know, that's how it should be done. Just in case you kids out there trying to pick up tips or whatever, you know, this is what you're looking to do for the future, just so you know.